Hello, and welcome to Women Beyond a Certain Age. This is Denise, and we have special guests today, and I really mean that. This is a personal and special podcast, so let me just set it up for a minute, and then we'll introduce our guest. Most of you that listen, a lot of you that listen, I know personally, or you've reached out to me, and we've, you know, texted each other, and I appreciate all that. But a lot of you I know. Well, anyone that knows me knows that I have ADHD. Now, people sometimes didn't know that, but we've been friends for a while, one of the symptoms may have been when you're talking to me and we're having lunch or we're at a conference or we're at a business meeting, and in the throes of something important, I'll turn around and say, I love those earrings, okay? And it really has, that comment had nothing to do with the fact that you just told me that you'd either become divorced or lost your job or anything. It's not that I wasn't interested, trust me. But at the moment, I saw those shiny earrings and I veered off to another road. That's what ADHD in my brain feels like all the time. So here I am on Facebook. Of course, people know me also. I can talk on Facebook for 5-6 hours a day because I do, because I'm retired and I see people that I love and it's an interaction to me. Now, so here comes our guest. Hello, Jean Tidd. How are you?
I'm fantastic today.
Now, and I should have asked Jean before I said that. Jean has so many letters after her name that it's one of those. Okay, it's one of those. She's a clinical health therapist. She's an ADHD coach. She has a wonderful website. She also, I love this one that says badass ADHD evaluation, coaching, and consultation. Well, and I saw this because Jean had put an ad on Facebook. Now, Jean, so hello and welcome.
Thank you. It's great to be here.
I was so lucky. So I hit on the button that says send me information. And Jean and her office got back to me and we talked. Jean, I have to say this. Jean offered a 30-minute complimentary consultation to get to know her before you pay, which Jean, that's just to me an effort in trust. Do you know what I mean? I mean, that really is. And also because when a new patient or a new client comes to you, you don't know them, they don't know you. It's just, it's a very smart bridge to me. So anyway, that's what happened. So then after Jean and I talked for those 30 minutes, she said, would you be on my podcast? She said, I would love to be on your podcast. And we made that happen. So that's why Jean is the guest today. And I will say this one thing for all of you, because I know a lot of the people that listen to us, and it doesn't matter what age you are. When Cindy does the demographics for us every 6 months or whatever, and we see young women from, you know, in other parts of the country or in Europe even that listen to it, I think it's wonderful, but I think it's because all of us are just looking for connections and to get information that we need to make our lives better. And that's the whole idea behind the podcast. So anyway, I kind of went off on a bender there, but everybody's used to it. So here's what we're going to talk about today. We're going to talk about my friend Jean, who's an ADHD coach and consultant. So thank you, Jean. And now here's the first question.
Okay.
How did you get into this?
55 years ago, I was born in Atlantic City, New Jersey. And from that moment, I was lucky enough to have ADHD. I didn't know it then. I think one of the most interesting pieces about ADHD in women specifically is most of us don't know it until later in life. We're overlooked. There's some stereotypes around ADHD that it's a hyperactive little boy. We didn't, yeah. You know, hyperactive little girls got dealt with differently or approached differently. Right.
Yeah.
And, you know, so actually it wasn't until graduate school when I was studying to become a therapist. I had been a social worker already for many years and had worked with kids and families with ADHD and was really good at it and really loved it. And it didn't connect that, oh, hey, this may be something that you're challenged with as well. So in graduate school, I learned a little more, got evaluated. Yes, I had it. And it's a missing puzzle piece. It changed everything. And I, from there, decided to professionally make it my goal to make sure that people have access to accurate information and diagnostic and evaluation and support and coaching. You know, you said all kinds of women of all kinds of ages listen to this podcast. There are so many, everybody says, oh, are there suddenly more people with ADHD? No, not at all. What's happened is that there is more and more information and attention being given to it finally. And women who have been struggling their whole lives are finally saying that might be me. And getting the diagnosis and the information is life-changing. It really truly
life-changing.
It is.
I told you this yesterday, Jean, and probably other people that have heard this before. But when I knew early in life that the same thing was on my report card, no matter who the teacher was,
that's right.
Or what class I was in. She talks too much. She's smart, but doesn't apply herself. She doesn't seem to be able to focus. And they would say, I mean, this is in first and second grade, you know? And so all I was trying to do then was see Dick and Jane Run, and teachers were already. And I think in those days, this is, of course, I'm 70, going to be 74 in May. So this is the early 50s. When I'm in school, and I would say this, I think, though they didn't use the word gene, they did think I was hyperactive. Do you know what
yes.
I mean? They would say, sometimes they'd say to my mother, well, she's a little hyperactive. And my mother would say, yeah, but, you know, at home, she's busy. My mother would always just say, she's busy.
Right.
She's busy. And she finds ways to fill her time, as my mother would always say, you know.
Yes.
And I still do that. Do you know what I mean? But I do think I love your point about women and little boys and little girls being treated differently, because we already are anyway.
And we're socialized differently.
Differently.
We teach little girls to try to sit still. We try to, you know, be ladylike means be still. Be quiet.
Be quiet. Don't talk too loud.
Don't talk too much.
My mother was still saying that to me, Gina, God rest her soul. I'm in between husbands. I'm divorced for almost 14 years. And we're talking, and I'd bought a condo by then. I knew I wasn't going back to Northern California. I was going to stay in LA. My career was going pretty well. But my mother would say to me, dating anyone? And I'd say, oh yeah, Mom, I have a date this weekend. Well, you don't talk too much when you're out on dates, do you, dear? Now, my mother, I'm 35, 36, and the loaf of bread is baked. I mean, and she would still say that to me because my mother thought that was incredibly unattractive.
Yes.
And though I was pretty to her, I was unattractive because I was loud and I swore and I talked too much and I also said what I wanted to. So, I mean,
None of that was ladylike, right? Whatever that meant, it wasn't ladylike. But little boys, we expected them to run around and be busy and active and rough and tumbly and just do whatever it is they wanted to do.
They grew up to be litigation attorneys. What you were saying about people and that there's more information. And this is very interesting, Jean, because when Cindy came to work for me, right when she got out of school, so this is almost 25, 30 years ago, whenever it was, Cindy was one of the first people. My husband was the first one. But then Cindy said to me, so I'm about 50, And my husband and Cindy both that year said, I think you have ADD, because that's what they called it then.
Right. Yeah.
And Cindy said it very sweetly. She wasn't. She said, I see, because she said, well, you know, I suffer from OCD, but I think you're ADD. And I remember thinking, oh, okay, because it was just new information.
Yeah.
Then I, you know, that was it. But I never thought of anymore. I mean, I would say it to people sometimes, but I didn't think of talking to a doctor about it or, you know, anything like that. So, but what was interesting to me is my sister, who in the last 10 or 15 years, both my sisters, but I don't want to outer this, but they've suffered with anxiety.
Oh, yes.
I don't have that. I don't suffer with that as much. I don't. But they've suffered. But now just recently, one of my sisters, a doctor said, I think you have ADHD.
Absolutely.
And talked to me about it. And what it was, Jean, is that I wasn't even seeing that in her. But when I look back, and now that she's taking some medication, which is great, it's just her thoughts are so much clearer. I mean, she used to sometimes, she just couldn't get it out. And I've worked with talent on TV shows, and one of them, who later on I said to her, I said, have you ever thought of talking to someone that you have ADHD? Because she was very smart. The yes. thoughts would come so fast that she was stuttering. And she right. said to me later on, you know, Denise, I talked to my doctor. I think you're absolutely right. But I didn't see it in my sister, maybe because we have sister language.
And you know, it's the norm. It's the norm in your family, right?
It's the norm in our family.
So you wouldn't see anything different. I'm curious, who had it, your mom or your dad? 85% of the time, it's genetic.
Okay. Now, this is, God, what a big question. I'm not sure. Now, when I think,
maybe both of them.
Well, now, when you say that, both my parents had enormous anxiety issues, constant anxiety.
Okay.
And also, my father was not patient. Okay. And so it really not patient. With all his employees, he had like hundreds of employees patient, but never with his family. Never with his family. Maybe it was my dad. I'm not sure. I'll have to think on that, Jean. That's a great question.
It's an interesting, I've been thinking back, my parents are in their 70s. Well, no, actually, I think they're in their 80s now. But I have been talking to them because growing, I didn't think it was either of them. I thought I was one of those 15% that got dropped on their heads, you know, at birth, and it was a brain injury or something. But the more that I've talked to them and the more they've learned from me about it, they're both convinced that very possibly it's them. But my dad was in the military through Vietnam.
Yeah.
And so he learned executive functioning because he was forced to. I mean, the military actually tells you, if you go in and say, hey, I have ADHD, will you still take me? Yes, we'll take you. No, you can't take your medicine. We will be your executive functioning for you. So the structure and everything was put into place and he didn't have to worry about it. It wasn't until he came out of the military that he started realizing that maybe he wasn't as focused, as structured, you know, and had to work a little harder.
Let me ask you this and then we'll talk about something else that you said to me that was life changing. Life changing.
But love it.
What are some typical traits of people with ADHD?
Thanks for asking that. I think that I'm going to say a couple different things about that. Typical traits, that's the challenge, is that, you know, once you've met one person with ADHD, you've just met one person with ADHD, meaning that based on so many pieces of how you were socialized, the culture of your family, responsibility levels, all those kinds of things. And then there's three different presentations. It may show itself in your life in a whole lot of different ways. For example, girls, oftentimes the women that I evaluate had the same kind of report card comments that you had, that I had, you know, we were all chatty Cathys or, you know, social, but sure wish they would, you know, not talk during the fire drill or yeah, whatever the situations were. But we usually had good grades.
Yes.
Yes. So that is where, already off the bat, misinformed professionals decide, well, you're getting good grades, it's not possible. There is no real connection between school performance and ADHD. Wow. Some people have a problem with school performance, but lots of people do not, especially lots of women. But ADHD, you know, impacts two aspects of our lives. The title of it's a little misleading. We don't have a deficit of attention. We have so much attention that we will tend to everything. We can't regulate it.
Got it. Well said.
And the other piece is the emotional dysregulation. Again, we have tons of emotions. Strong. Yes. I mean, we can be the most enthusiastic people you've ever met. And 10 minutes later, we can be the most disappointed and defeated people. Now, yes, that's not a mood swing. That's not, and oftentimes it gets mistaken for a bipolar disorder, for example. That's not a mood swing. It's emotional dysregulation for us, which is very different. So there's those two categories of impairment or challenge. And it would, you know, it shows itself in the executive functioning, which organization. Again, these might not even be things anyone else notices but yourself.
Yeah.
You know, you might get from A to B, but nobody sees what goes on in your head to try to get there, you know?
Yes.
It could be scheduling, planning time. Most of us with ADHD, we know two times, now and not now. So if it's not something we need to do now, it kind of goes on the back burner. Impulse control can be a challenge for us. Working memory. So, you know, if you've caught yourself walking into a room with a goal, and as soon as you get in there, you're like, I got no clue why I'm here, that could be a sign. Planning and prioritizing, you know, you got a person with an ADHD brain and a person without an ADHD brain, and we're both, the task is climb the mountain right in front of us. Well, that non-ADHD brain automatically sees the steps that go straight up the mountain, and they just go. We, with the ADHD brains, wander around to the left and look, wander the other way, take the scenic route, remember something and go back down. We get there. We get there. But it's not in a way that anyone else understands but us. And so that is part of the challenge as well, is figuring out how to get from A to B. It is also task initiation, you know, getting started on projects or getting started on tasks can be paralyzing for people with ADHD. And that has to do with dopamine, which is one of the neurotransmitters that we have some irregularities with when you have ADHD. We don't have enough of it, and what we do have doesn't quite circulate right. So dopamine is exactly what helps you move forward. Literally, figuratively, gets you moving. And so when we don't have it and the task before us is not engaging, it's really hard for us to start. The other problem for people with ADHD is it's really hard for us to stop. Exit ramp.
Yes.
If we are into something, if our hyper-focusing has taken over, nothing can stop us. And that becomes problematic. And, you know, most people have a tendency to say, oh, well, everyone has a little bit of ADHD. No, they don't. We're talking about these kinds of challenges that are actually impairing. That's the difference.
Yeah.
We have a lot of them, and they're impairing. They keep us from doing the things we want to do. They keep us from being the person we want to be. And it's frustrating. And women most often are misdiagnosed with depression and anxiety.
Yes.
Because, again, professionals, prescribers, evaluators don't have accurate information. ADHD is the fourth largest
disorder
that psychiatrists will deal with, and they get no training. Very, very minimal training. And yet 4% it'll be the fourth most common diagnosis they see. So there's so much misinformation, and there's so many stereotypes, and there's just inaccuracies. And then women go through their lives trying all these antidepressants or all these anxiety medications, and none of them work.
Yes.
You know, and they're even more defeated. And sure, people with ADHD are depressed and anxious prior to getting an ADHD diagnosis, because chasing your tail your whole life makes you feel depressed and anxious.
Of course.
You know, so oftentimes you get your ADHD treated and that depression and anxiety resolves, or at least significantly decreases.
You said so much information, Jean.
Sorry about that. You know, that's me.
If anybody, there were so many words there. I want to say one or two things. I was very lucky. I was depressed in my 30s.
Okay.
And I blamed it on hormones, just meaning heavy periods and all that, which did account for some of it.
Yeah, that didn't help.
It didn't help. But I was very lucky to, I had taken a class at UCLA because I taught in the extension program and they let us take other people's classes for free. So I took a class from a therapist. She had a practice in Century City. She changed my life because what she taught me to do was prioritize. And that was a word that you just said that, a huge word. So that was the first piece.
Yes.
She used to say to me, Denise, every single morning you have, and I mentioned to it yesterday when you and I were talking, you take a small piece of paper and you put the five things that you want to accomplish today on that. And that's your priorities. Because before that, what you were talking about then with elation and also defeatism, Jean, I used to make a list that Hercules couldn't have accomplished. I mean,
there were,
I'm talking 1A, 2A.
Yep. And you truly believed you were going to knock it all out.
And of course, I was never going to complete that list in a day. I would be lucky if I completed that list in a year.
That's right.
So then when I didn't complete it, I would be so despondent over that, defeated.
Like
that,
a failure. Yep.
Like failure. So when I first, when you were just talking about so many techniques and things that you mentioned to me yesterday that always helped. So I want the audience to think about this, because since I had a session with you, it's already helped straighten up some of the files. Okay.
Yes.
So that people that are listening, if this is something, I mean, I'm excited about the next two sessions we have, because I really feel like I can feel the difference. I also think that the working with you, I would think of it as a tune-up.
Okay? Exactly.
I have to tell you, my first therapist used to say to me, honey, you're like a Ferrari. She says, bolts come loose, but you just need a good mechanic, and then you're back to rev, rev, rev. And I remember when she said that to me, and I thought, oh, that's so much better than saying you're a clunker.
Well, actually, there's a prominent ADHD researcher who, when he describes ADHD, he actually says it's like a Ferrari with bicycle brakes.
Oh, that's great.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, that's great. Now, when people, I know, because I know you better now, Jean, tell our audience, what do you think, why do people, when people find you,
yes,
then you speak to them a little bit, what do you think they're hoping to accomplish?
First and foremost, I think the main moment that's life-changing is when someone says, oh, I get what you got. And you know, they feel heard and they feel acknowledged and they hear that it's just normal for a lot of us. I think it helps significantly that I have it as well and
Yes.
can speak to exactly what the experience is. And as the soon as people realize it's just not them by themselves,
Yes.
You know, it's just them not trying hard enough or all those things we told ourselves or people told us as
or not.
kids, I think that's the first relief. They want to know what's going on.
Yes.
What's wrong? Why can't they? What is it that everyone else gets that they don't?
Why can't you just take the staircase straightly?
Exactly. Why must I always take the scenic route?
And also, I did have one or two friends when I went to school with them, culinary school. Keen, one or two of them would be driving home from a job or whatever it was. Okay, when we were first getting into catering, first learning our craft, I did have one or two of them say to me, "Do you always take the hardest job?" And at the time,
always,
I thought, "What are you talking about?" And I really didn't know what they meant. And then, as I stayed in my career longer, I thought, "Who was that person that said I always take the hardest job?" Because I wouldn't even think it was the hardest sometimes. I thought
No.
the challenging job.
You got it. Yep. The most exciting, the most stimulating, the most challenging.
And the thrill when you accomplished it. I mean, and I would always say sometimes, and Cindy knows this, sometimes Cindy and I would accomplish something and I would go on and on and on about it, you know what I mean? But the accomplishment was for us, not for me, not for the client,
Right.
Not for the sponsor, not for the people that were writing big checks. It was the accomplishment was for me.
Well, and you were getting a chemical reward in your brain that you needed, and that was the dopamine. You know,
yeah.
And that's another thing that when I'm working with folks, the other main piece that they expect to get some help with is being able to figure out how they can do what they want to do, how they can be and accomplish whatever it is. It doesn't even matter what it is, but how can they get it going so that they get to start feeling the way you're talking about? That's
Yes.
brain food.
Right. Yesterday when Jean and I were talking, every once in a while I would say something and you were so funny, you said, "Oh yeah, that's you."
Yeah.
Or, "Oh
yeah,
yeah, that's your jam."
Yeah, I mean,
it's so
you
obvious.
Have been fortunate to have a career that you have loved. I have had the same fortune as well that you have loved. This is one of the reasons why you haven't necessarily felt driven to seek medication.
I think you're right.
Because your job has been so stimulating and so engaging, and you've gotten so much of the dopamine that you've been able to run with it. And to be honest, that working 60 to 70 hours a week, for many people, people would say, "Oh, that's workaholism and it's bad and blah, blah, blah." Okay, whatever. But for lots of us, it has its benefits.
Well, I was accused of that many times, Jean. Now, this would be the example. I'd make plans with someone. We're going to go to Disneyland for the day just to take the day off and or go to the flower market or whatever. And then, not always, but I would at the last minute call them and say, "You know what? I can't go today because I have." And I was the boss. You know what I mean? I ran my own business. So it's not like somebody called me in. And they would be miffed and they would be pissed. And they would say, "You do this, you did this last time too." And I said, "I'm so sorry. I didn't realize, you know." And of course, I wasn't even thinking. I wanted to do that, finish that job.
Well, you wanted to and you had to. And
yeah.
There's a tiny, teeny, tiny chance that you may have overestimated or underestimated how much time it was going to
Yes.
take you.
That's exactly right.
And you get misinterpreted. You know,
yeah.
People would say some, they would think that you didn't care enough about the relationship when the reality is had nothing to do with the relationship.
Nothing
It's
to do
that
with
you needed to finish a job.
That's exactly right. Not for public, consumption, Jean. But in our next session, we're going to talk about old boyfriends.
Oh, yes. Yes. And you know what? I have to tell you also, not for public consumption. Yeah. But when you said you were between husbands, that is another beautiful ADHD moment.
Yes. But I was at, so after we talked yesterday, I got off the phone, and I think that younger women, every woman, women my age will relate to this. Chasing dopamine, now I realize why sex was so terribly important to me then.
Absolutely. It's 100% dopamine.
It's dopamine.
Right, right. It's, you know, we can chase dopamine. We do chase dopamine, and we can chase dopamine that is healthier, or we can chase junk dopamine. And sex just happens to be one of those kinds of things that produce healthy dopamine, unless it's your only dopamine provider, and then it can be problematic. But, you know, that endless scrolling on the phone is that junk dopamine.
That's,
you know,
exactly.
It's just these little hits, and you got to keep going to keep it going. You know, I told you yesterday, sometimes for dopamine, I want to snort Twinkies, you know? I mean, it's sugar for me sometimes. And I have to, you know, it'll never be enough.
Yes.
So, you know, I need to be able to remind myself, I need more dopamine. I need to do something that's more overall enjoyable and enhancing. So for you, it was sex.
Yes.
Yeah. Yeah, absolutely. And if the sex got boring at all, it would have been time for a new boyfriend.
Oh, you said it, sister.
Yeah. I mean, shiny new object. You know, it's like hobby swapping. It's, you know, we do the same thing with hobbies and interests. And as soon as it's not shiny anymore, we're on to something else.
I will say that really has been helpful. Talking to you, even just last week and then yesterday, it relieved me of several things, several guilty things that you think you've let go of them. Okay. And I have so much. I mean, I look back on my life and one of my dearest friends always says it so sweetly to me. I'll say, yeah, that was a mistake. Or luckily I got out of that one alive, or whatever. That wasn't very smart. Kind of like when I was driving the getaway car, that wasn't not a smart idea, but he'll always say, well, you were still playing, or you were just growing up. Do you know what I mean? I think it's the sweetest way that she said to me, because I've known her since sixth grade. Do you know what I mean? So she's, but I will say this. I've tried to let myself off the hook for the mistake. Okay. Because I don't think you can move forward if you don't let yourself off the hook.
And why do you need to stay on the hook?
I don't.
Once you finally understand why you do what you do, that's the other point of working with someone to address your ADHD. It's to get you off the hook.
Right.
And to realize you did what you did, but there's also so much about you and your life that is so important because of your ADHD.
Well, now that is the truth. Now, Jean, you have to tell people how they can contact you. We always put all this information up when we are going to broadcast. So tell us how people can contact you.
Well, the best way is to take a look online and look up badassadhdcoaching.com. And the reason I call it badass has to do with getting people off the hook. You know, people with ADHD have an unparalleled zest for life, an unbreakable spirit. I mean, we have relentless determination that can move mountains, not always the right mountains, but can move those mountains. I mean, we've got creativity, bounds. We thrive on challenges that would leave other people in awe. I mean,
I will say this, sometimes I've moved the wrong mountain.
Oh, yeah. And sometimes I tried to put it back.
I know. Oh, yeah. Of course, I tried to put it back. There's some dirt over it, so that I was covering my tracks.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, we are spectacular. And when we better understand who we are and how we operate, and we're able to find our tribe, I mean, we are badass.
I love that. Because I get to have two more sessions with Jean, what I thought would be wonderful is that, well, Jean will come back in 2 or 3 months, and I can then talk about the things that I know that were so helpful to me, Jean. Do you know what I mean? That would be just...
If we can see how well you're doing.
Because it really is... I always say this to people, and I don't... And I know some people don't agree with this. When I... As a nice Italian girl that in North Beach in Italy, where families, I mean, my family, Jean said, like, said things on a daily basis, like, don't tell people that, or don't talk about that outside the family. Or
great point.
To the time I was in my, well, my parents, in my, still in my late 20s and 30s, my parents were the type that said, don't ever tell anyone what, how much money you make, or what your father owns. Well, we lived in a small town. Everybody knew what my father owned. But, you know, they just, it was this secret. Everything was a secret. Everything was a secret in the Italian family. So, and Catholic, I blame the Catholics a little bit.
Oh,
too.
Yeah, there you go. That's how you built that big pot of shame. Yeah.
But the reason I say it is the time. So I'm now gotten through culinary school. I moved to LA. I was Rhoda in my family, Jean. I left. I ran away from home at like 33 years old. My family, literally, I am not exaggerating, for, I don't know, a year would say, when is she coming home? When is she coming home? And they had no idea. I'd signed a 2-year lease and I had no intention of going home. But I say this because when I called my mother and she said, what have you been up to? And I said, well, you know, because of my class at UCLA, I'm taking this fabulous class with a therapist, and I think I'm going to go see her once a week. The silence, yes, on the phone,
yes.
Jean, I mean, it was like all of a sudden an iceberg had shown up, and I was the Titanic. And my mother said to me, well, what would you talk about? And then as I got into it, she'd say to me all the time, well, I'm sure you don't talk about me, but I'm sure you have a lot to talk about with Daddy.
So, I love that. I love that.
Yeah. So when I look back, all I know is I feel so grateful that I have been able to solve the mysteries of my brain by meeting with people that, like you and like Harriet, that was my first therapist. And because and it didn't take that long. That's what I was. I'm always been amazed.
No. No, and it's nothing to be ashamed about. It is just, I mean, honestly, ADHD is just a neurological developmental difference.
It
just happens to be in the diagnostic statistical manual of mental health disorders because they didn't know where else to put it. But it's not a mental health disorder.
I love it.
It is a wiring difference. And if anybody comes to my website, badassadhdcoaching.com, the information on how you schedule a call with me is there. Call me and ask me anything about ADHD. You don't even have to necessarily be interested in working with me. But if you just have questions or you want to know more, call
me. I can testify that it couldn't have been easier to get in touch with you, Jean. And you answered me quickly. And then we got to do this. And then I know you moved your schedule so that you could be on the podcast today. And I totally, totally appreciate that. The hardest part of the whole situation is Jean and Jean's office and Cindy and I, we went round and round about the time change.
Because we have people with ADHD who are trying to figure it out. And hell, we don't know what time it is or when it, or where it's what time. And we don't even pay attention to time.
I'm thinking, if I just plug into this, won't she be there?
My thing was, this involves math, and that's not my area of specialty.
Okay, well, you touched on, you gave us so many things to think about. I cannot thank you enough. I thank Cindy always, as I always say the same thing, Cindy keeps the train on the tracks. Without Cindy, there would be no podcast. So I'm so grateful to her. I'm grateful for you for sharing your knowledge today. And I hope that people will reach out to you, Jean, because really, it's life-changing. It's easy Hey, but the older I've gotten, the more, especially when you only know you have so much time left, you're at the end of the runway. I'm at the end of the runway. And I would love the next 10 or 15 years to be peaceful and lovely. Do you know what I mean? And that
And
starts
stimulating and stimulating.
with my brain.
Peaceful and stimulating.
That's a great way to say it. Thank you so much.
Thank
Now,
you.
I'm going to talk to you again, but if anyone wants to reach out to us, we've told you how to get in touch with Jean. If you want to private message me at first, people know they can do that. It's
Absolutely.
denise.com. If people want to, on our Facebook page, if people want to make a comment, by all means.
Denise has the hookup. She'll get you to me.
I'm telling you, Jean, I just think that this is one of those lucky moments in time that I saw your ad, and I just think it's one of the luckiest things that's ever happened to me. I'm so grateful.
Actually, I felt the same way when we were talking yesterday. I thought it was great. It was divine intervention.
Divine intervention. All right. Well, I hope you have the rest of your day is lovely. Again, people call us or email us and get back to us. And thank you so much. And
Absolutely.
you be well, Jean, and I'll talk to you next
See
week.
you next week. Thank you.
Bye.
Bye-bye.